streaming 24/7. This is Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Stitcher. A huge thanks to our tremendous sponsor, Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl, for supporting our cause each and every week. This week, we look back at a big week in UFC and Bellator, and also take a look at what's on the horizon throughout the world of combat sports. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, 2018 is in full effect with big things going on nationally as well as on the grassroots level.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of a lull here locally. Nothing too much of note going on here this weekend, but we do have a build. We're building up to Corbin, you know, for the next Valor up there. And, you know, that'll be Valor 48. And in the meantime, we'll be, you know, we've got some good UFC and Bellator stuff coming up this weekend to talk about.
Absolutely. Now, we are also joined by our guest host this evening. Firstly, he's the man you see taking those pictures at each and every Valor Fights event. We're talking about Alan Poole. Alan, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing great. Great to be here. Nice to be, well, except for I heard Sawyer's going to be here. Other than that, I'm doing well.
Well, speak of the devil, we also are joined by Sawyer Rich. He's with us right now, and that's the man who we really don't know what he may be doing at any given time. We may see him on commentary. We may see him outside the cage. We may see him inside the cage fighting. But tonight, he's right here on the Valor Hour. Sorry, how are you doing?
Can I add to that rescuing Alan out of the car as well?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Like, you know.
You guys
want to
talk about that?
Yeah, but yeah, that was pretty intense. Alan actually snapped a couple pictures right after it happened, like, which is ridiculous. Like, we just wrecked, just boom, he just camera shoot. I'm just like, dude, you know, we just got out of the car and sat back down. He's just taking pictures. I'm like, dude, are you not shook up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. He's just always with the camera. It's pretty funny.
Well, I mean, check to make sure everybody's okay. Then pull out that camera. It's his first instinct. So I get that totally. All right, well, let's get right on into the news. Last Sunday, it was UFC Fight Night 124, Stevens versus Choi, and it went down right there at the Scott Trade Center, St. Louis, Missouri, and that main event was explosive Jeremy Stevens with a big TKO over Do Ho Choi. Tim, talk about it.
Yeah, it was exciting, man. I think most people knew that was going to be a slugfest, and Choi, he was right in his face, man. He never backed down. You know, props to him, but Stevens really, he was just landing relentlessly and turned it on and got that finish, man. That was the first time he's had a knockout, I think they said, in a good long while. So, you know, but he's one of those guys, you know, that he's got it in him. And so it was an exciting fight, good main event.
Sawyer, I heard you made a good pick on that one. Talk about it.
Yeah, me and Tim always, it's an event, like, you know, televised that we can watch together. We always bet, and I felt like he was gonna soften him up in the first round and get the finish in the second round, just be too overwhelming, and it's pretty much what happened. I mean, he was just able to, you know, just even though it, you know, the opponent was game, it was too much, you know.
Right, and of course, a tremendous undercard. Jesse Rose Clark, aka Jesse Jess, defeats Paige Van Zandt via unanimous decision. Now, Jesse, we called her Jesse Jess, but I saw a lot of her in the AFC organization, Australian Fighting Championship, when I was calling the fights down there. And she was impressive. She was one of these stars. And it sort of took a little bit of time for her stock to rise to what it is right now. But, man, a victory over Paige Van Zandt is a pretty big deal, Tim.
Yeah, man, that's a big one, and I called this one, actually. The odds were pretty much a pick'em, and I called Clark there, and, you know, that was one where, you know, Van Zandt had an injury to her arm in the first round and gutted it out, but really still didn't show a whole lot of, I don't think she would have had a whole lot for her. She was just kind of relying on athleticism more than anything. And, you know, good win for Clark. And I think it kind of shows the, you know, how tough that Van Zandt is, but I think she's still just kind of limited against the, you know, the top tier girls.
Alan, what do you think? Who did you have in this one? And were you happy with the ending, with the result?
Well, I mean, I thought Paige Van Zandt would probably get that, and I just want her to win because she's so hot, and I need to just...
I knew that you were going to say that. I knew it.
but anyway, I mean, she, you know, she's got a great attitude and, you know, great personality, mm-hmm. from what I can tell, so you can't help but like her, and I don't know. I mean, she's tough as hell. She fought through that broken arm, and I mean, I just wish she would have won to answer that question, yeah.
All right. Well, also on the undercard, we saw Kamaru Usman with a victory. Darren Elkins wins with a submission rear naked choke over Michael Johnson. And, of course, James Krause with unanimous decision victory. Moving on, looking great as usual, man. He is definitely on a run right now. Tim, anything about the undercard that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Usman, you know, he had a really dominant decision, but I think people really would like to have seen a finish there. As much as he's been talking and calling everybody out, he really kind of needed, I thought, to get a decision or a better, you know, a finish. But it was a very dominant decision. Meek's tough, but, you know, I think people would have rather seen him get, you know, a finish. Really impressive showing by Elkins. I think most people expected Michael Johnson to beat him. And, man, Michael Johnson always comes out so good in that first round, and then he burns out in the second round. Elkins, you know, got him down and worked him and got that decision. Or I'm sorry, got that submission. Other than that, man, like, I had Krause. I bet on Krause and he won, but that was scary. Like, that was one of those fights where, like, he managed to get the takedowns and things like that at the right times. But, God, man, I felt like at any point he could be knocked out. He was getting lit up on the feet. Other than that, man, pretty good knockout from Reyes over Frivola. You know, not too much else was really, you know, stand out. There were some good fights, but, you know, just kind of entry level people.
Well, Fight Night 124 is on the books, but we head right on into this Saturday night for UFC 220, Miocic versus Ngannou. And this is the one that a lot of people have been waiting for. It's been a long time since you've seen a heavyweight showdown of this magnitude. And I don't have to tell you, I mean, Stipe is considered technically one of the best ever, but Ngannou, man, what horsepower. Tim, what do you think is going to happen here?
This one's a hard one to call, man. I'm excited for it for sure. I, you know, Stipe always kind of finds a way to pull it off. You know, he's a stud, but for some reason I just see Ngannou, you know, finding it and finding this and getting a knockout. I want to say in the maybe the first, but I'll call the second.
Man, guys, I'm gonna call it out to Sawyer, man. Who you pick?
I really don't know, you know, because I don't know if I can pick. I mean, I'm going to have to eventually. I'm not sure if I can right now. Ngannou hits so hard. I mean, you can't stand there and just don't see. I don't really know if Stipe's going to shoot. You know, I think He's probably got better boxing than Ngannou, but it just, I mean, he hits so much harder than Stipe. I feel like could be wrong about that too.
Alan, your pick on this one.
I say nay to all of you pro Ngannou. I normally would go with him, but because I can't pronounce his name. But here's the deal, man. He swings like wild. You know, he swings like a wild man. And Stipe, he shoots straight down the pipe. You know, right down the middle, and he's got that overhand that I don't care. It can drop anyone. I go with technique, and I'm going with the Stipe. Think of his stupid name, Stipe Miocic. Our current UFC baddest man on the planet. Yes, Stipe. God, help me out.
All right. Well, of course we have a big co-main event. Daniel Cormier, he's putting the belt up on the line against Volkan Ozdemir, and that one's, you know, I mean, that's another one, man, you know, to see Daniel Cormier back in action. And let's see, is that the first time since John Jones?
I believe it is. I think so.
I can't think of anything else in between. You know, but I think it's a good match for him, honestly. I think early it could be a little iffy that first round, but I think ultimately DC will drag him into those later rounds and drown him, you know, late, maybe third or fourth.
Sawyer, what do you think?
Dude, I mean, Cormier is going to be Cormier to anyone except for Jon Jones, in my opinion right now. He's going to be dominant. I don't think he's going to come out of
the gate. But I got to ask you this, don't you? I mean, In essence, dude, Daniel Cormier lost. He lost his last fight. So you, as a fighter, you know this, man, as well as I do, that, you know, your momentum going into this fight, into a fight, means a lot. So in Daniel Cormier's mind, he lost, dude. I mean, he was put away. He was knocked out. And so, you know, he heads in here. He's defending champion. Do you think his mindset's going to be the same? Is he going to be the same Daniel Cormier that fought before?
No, I don't think he's going to be the same. But I think that his issue is he has a Jon Jones issue. But I don't think he could beat him anyway. But I think he's in his head as well. You know what I mean? I really do. I think that he's some kind of mind thing with him. I think that he would feel better if it wasn't like that, maybe. But his wrestling's outstanding. I mean, he's not going to get in there and not do well, but I agree 100%. Momentum, this game is like, it's confidence, like 80% of it, and then like 100% of how hard you work. So if you don't have confidence, you're right, you're already beat. So we shall see. We don't know.
Alan, what do you think about this? What do you think about this fight in the light heavyweight landscape? Me personally, I think OSP should be facing Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, man. Maybe something will happen and OSP will be able to just jump in shorthand, you know, or, you know, short notice. But I don't see Cormier losing. If anyone has the power to do it, definitely Ozdemir. But, I mean, Cormier's got a proven chin. And in my opinion, he's undefeated. I know that he's probably psychologically lost, but he's only lost to a cheater, you know, like, isn't that right? Am I wrong? I mean,
his only losses are to Jon Jones, but they're losses. Yeah, I mean, in their mind, he may convince himself he's a cheater, but there's been a lot of fighters along the line that have faced guys on steroids and beat them. And in his mind, that's something he's going to have to overcome. I'm not saying he's not going to, and I'm not saying he's not the true champion, because he has that belt, and if Jon Jones tested positive, then 100% he deserves to have it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm talking about moving forward, how he's going to, you know, what sort of performance he's going to put on. That's what I kind of have in my mind. It could be a possibility for Volkan to this could be a chance maybe for Volkan to take on a maybe tainted Daniel Cormier and get a shot at the belt. So I think it's going to be exciting one way or the other. Now, other big matches on this main card include Shane Burgos versus Calvin Kattar. Calvin Kattar is a guy that I've followed along the years. There have been a couple times where there was talks about him and Nate Jolly back in the day, so I followed him a little bit. So it's nice to see him up in the big show doing things. Gian Vellante taking on Francimar Barroso, and Thomas Almeida versus Rob Font. Tim, any of these or any others on the undercard that stand out to you?
Oh, I mean, like I was saying, you know, it's a top heavy card. You know, the pay per view is being sold on these top two fights, and they'll probably get away with that. But you know, the other three fights are kind of guys that are from that area that are getting shots on the pay per view, and they appear to be action fights. You know, all those fights, you know, in theory could be, you know, brawling stand up fights. You know, Vellante and Barroso should throw. Almeida and Font are both very good strikers. You know, so that should be good. On the undercard, I don't know, Ortiz is on there against Pantoja. He's a top level grappler, Brazilian. So that should be pretty interesting. And I don't know. Other than that, T-Bow's back. Yeah, Gleason T-Bow's in the very first fight back from the USADA thing. So we'll see if how he looks now that he is clean, I guess. And taking on a tough one when Islam Makhachev, who will probably kick his ass.
Well, the UFC has some competition this weekend, of course. Bellator 192 Rampage versus Sonnen. resonates from the Great Western Forum, Inglewood, California, the very same night, this Saturday. And, of course, as the title states, it's Quentin Rampage Jackson versus Chael Sonnen in the main event. Now, these are a couple guys that are a little older, you know, but still definitely a whole lot of star power, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, this is not going to help the UFC pay-per-view, I would imagine, because, I mean, while, ultimately the stakes aren't quite as big on this card, what with them having two world title fights on the UFC card, you still got some star power, some recognizable names on free television, you know? So, you know, seeing the beginning of this heavyweight Grand Prix tournament, Rampage Jackson and Chael Sonnen, even though they're both, later in their careers, those are still two big name guys that are going to have people interested, you know? So Douglas Lima and Rory McDonald for the world title is going to be awesome. And then you got Michael Chandler on the card too. So, you've got three fights where you've got marquee names. And then, of course, Aaron Pico also on the card. And so, they've got some guys that they think will move the needle. It's not going to do the pay-per-view for UFC any favors.
No, and I truly believe that Douglas Lima and Rory McDonald's a big one, and the true main event. You know what I'm saying? It is for the belt. Douglas Lima, of course, from right down there in Atlanta, and he's a guy that I've followed since he was a teenager, and I met him when he was coming up through the Knuckle Up LA Boxing Velocity Gym. You know, it changed names all those times. And, you know, and he came up with Junior and Rafael Sun Sal, and then of course his brother came along later, and so to see him. Have continued to evolve so much and be where he's at. And now facing Rory McDonald, who was a true UFC superstar. Douglas Lima never been to the UFC. His brother has, but he is, you know, a tried and true Bellator creation, if you will. You know, that's where he's been, and that's where he's, you know, may end up staying, you know. So excited to see that. Sawyer, any of these matchups, you know, for Bellator 192 that stand out for you?
I mean, of course, you know, everybody wants to see Aaron Pico. He's going to come in. Apparently, he's going to be a big deal, and I'm always excited to see what he's going to do and how he fights and how he progresses. Of course, I want to see Michael Chandler back at it. It's always exciting, super. You're always looking for the knockout, and you always, no matter who he's fighting, every time you're always entertained. And the Lima versus McDonald fight, of course, is going to be a great one. I think McDonald's going to smash him, but we shall see. I think McDonald's just such a force in Bellator. I think he's just pretty much going to run through everybody at this point. I don't see anybody in Bellator that's going to be able to stop him. So all exciting fights, really.
Undoubtedly. Real quick, Alan, your take on this card and what stands out to you. Do you agree with Sawyer that Rory McDonald's going to run over Douglas Lima?
Man, I don't know what the deal is with Rory McDonald, because I think that like he could be champ, should be champ, but it's like something bizarre happens every time he fights. He's like he's got everything all together except for one little, like he'll be dominating a fight and then one thing will happen and he'll just fall apart. And I just don't know what to make of it. But as far as the card overall goes, as far as like what Bellator's doing, man, good on you, Bellator. Good on you, man. Keep putting these great fights together. Man, I think it's great. I mean, and it's free and shit, man. Thank you, Bellator.
Well, that does it. Of course, like I mentioned, UFC and Bellator going head-to-head on Saturday. That does it for the news, which means we head straight into this week's Valor Hour Q&A segment. We have a great list of questions from our listeners this week. So without further ado, Tim, let's get down to it.
Let's do it.
All right, first up. Which fight are you more excited about for this weekend? Stipe Ngannou or Cormier Volkan?
Oh, definitely Stipe Ngannou. I think that's one where I really just don't know what's going to happen. I think you know, there's a good chance DC wins his fight, but the main event's really, who knows?
Well, part two was, who do you have in each? So you've answered half of it. You're going to have to go on the hot seat and answer the other one.
Yeah, DC in one, and man, it's a good one. In the second one, I'm going to say Ngannou figures out a way to put it on the button. And
oh my gosh! Okay, well, another question. Same viewer, same listener. Are there any other UFC 220 fights that you're looking forward to?
Man, it's kind of a top heavy card. I think those top two fights are the ones that
you know, they're really selling on. But, you know, there's some other ones that are going to be exciting, I think. You know, Font and Almeida is definitely going to be an action fight. I think that's going to be fun. I don't know. I mean, other than that, it's, you know, I think there will be some fights that are exciting, but nothing that I'm just, you know, stoked to see. You know, it's always cool to see Dustin Ortiz fight. He's on the undercard, you know. I guess that's about it.
Absolutely. I'm definitely excited to see Dustin Ortiz back in action as well. Next question. Dana White says Khabib Ferguson will go down at UFC 223. What's your early prediction for this one?
Ooh-wee. Man, that's a good one. I still got to go Khabib. I still think, you know, until I see somebody get it done, you know, got to go Khabib.
All right. Next question. Let's keep rolling. How excited are you to have Wayland Lowe make his Valor Fights debut next month? And realistically, what should fans expect?
Oh, we're real pumped. You know, we're excited. You know, Wayland's a guy from this area, and first time he's gotten to fight at home. And so he's really excited, and we are too. And I mean, it's not really at home, but it's close enough. And so, you know, we're all excited, and who knows what to expect, man. He's been out for a little bit, but I know he's training hard, and I know he's going to come, you know, ready to rock. He's definitely, he's pumped up for this. And I think we're going to see a war, man. Both these guys are similar, and they're both just tanks and both really tough.
Another part of this question is this Brandon Bell's toughest fight so far?
Oh, I don't think there's any argument there for sure.
Okay. Next question. It kind of sort of streamlines right into this. How much of a role do you think the outdoor elements played in Bell's fight with Bellator? And are you expecting a better performance out of him next month?
I think it played a factor in everyone's fight. You know, I think Bell handled it really well. So I think it did play a factor, but I think he still earned that win. What was the second part of the question?
Are you expecting a better performance out of him?
I mean, I don't think he had a bad performance that night, but I think he's still going to have a better performance to beat Lowe.
Okay, fair enough. All right, moving on. When will we see more Border Wars 2 fight news, and are there any clues you can give us for the time being?
Soon. I mean, we've got another probably two or three pro fights in the hatch ready once we can get them signed, a couple female fights. And so we've got a couple of really exciting ones that we're about to drop and working on more. It's been slow going getting this one finalized, but once we get it all out there, it'll be good. People will be impressed.
All right. Well, last question. If you had to pick one now, who's your prediction for Valor Fighter of the Year and Rookie of the Year 2018? Ooh.
Man, that's really early to say, really early. I mean, gosh, I mean, Jason King has kind of come out of the gates looking really good. I think he's a guy that could definitely be, you know, in the running. And then Rookie of the Year, golly, man, I mean, we were so early. We've only had one event. So, I mean, that would be for people that are just starting this year. So we can really only base that off of, you know, this last event. I mean, there's some people that were impressive that if they continue to stay busy, they could be, you know, in that conversation, you know, like Silas Reynolds or some guys like that. But, yeah. You know, who knows? Once AJ Johnson makes his debut, you know, he could immediately pop into that
conversation. Or CJ, who we're going to speak with
or
later.
Or CJ, who we're going to speak with. You know, CJ's another guy that he's a rookie and has come out impressively.
You know, it could be that we've not even met them at all. You know, Bailey Cooper, I guess he came out of the woodworks, what, in June, maybe? June, July?
Yeah, last year? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and he hammered it out like three or four straight fights. So
yeah,
so that's great. Well, that being said, that does it for another Valor Hour Q&A segment. Remember to send in your questions each and every week. And, of course, Tim Loy will be happy to answer them on our broadcast. That said, it is time to move on with a tremendous lineup of guests. We are joined by Cody the Spartan Stamen as he heads into UFC 222 on March 3rd in Las Vegas, as he faces Brian Caraway. Cody, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, man. You just coming off of two straight wins now in the UFC. You're 16-1 overall, a tremendous record. Two wins, 2-0 in the UFC now. After you made your debut back in July. Now you got Brian Caraway coming up next. You know this. Looking back over your opponents, probably one of the better grapplers that you faced. Talk a little bit about this matchup. You know, he's had two fights in a row now where he's had to pull out with injury. And by the time you guys get in there, it'll be nearly 2 years, I think, for him since he's competed. So, talk a little bit about the matchup and, how you see this thing going down.
So, honest to God, I'm more scared that Brian Caraway gets hurt before this fight than I am of actually fighting him. this is a great matchup. You know, he's like a boxer wrestler. He's like one of those old school guys that, you know, kind of tucks his head down and, you know, chucks bombs and shoots double legs. The sport has far evolved from there. You know, I used to be a fighter like him too, but, you know, I evolved. He didn't. So, March 3rd, I'm going to absolutely put on a clinic against Brian Caraway. And there's going to be no doubt that I belong in the top 10.
All right. Well, you know, prior to your most recent victory, you were talking a little bit about scaling back on your then full-time business, your family's restoration business. And, you've done that. Now, this is your second fight as a full-time fighter. Talk about that transition. You know, it's really hard to quit that day job in this business and really fully commit because you never know when it might fall. But you've not faltered, man. You've continued to rise, and your stock continues to improve. Talk about that real-life type stuff that's going on there where, you've kind of made that transition to a full-time fighter.
So, yeah, I've always been really fortunate, you know, working for your family, they understand, you know, how important fighting is to me. So anytime I had a fight coming up, I had more than enough time off to train and to get better. But definitely the transition from, you know, working and fighting to just fighting, you know, it's done nothing but great things for me. You know, I'm a lot more organized in my training camps. I can take time to travel. There's a lot of things that I can do, you know, to make myself a better athlete that I couldn't do before. You know, obviously I was a little bit more limited having to go to work. But you know, it's amazing how much better you can get when your whole life revolves around one single thing and you're not trying to juggle a bunch of different stuff. So I've gotten so much better in these last, 6 months, physically, mentally. You know, my diet, everything's on point, you know, everything's organized. I'm a better overall athlete. I gotta thank the UFC, you know, for giving me these opportunities. You know, I've always known that I was going to be, you know, amongst the elite, and now's my time to shine.
Well, and you're also, like you said, being full-time now, you're able, you know, you're there in Michigan, but you're able to make it to Canada and train a lot more there. Talk about that, you know, and any, you know, any other camps that you're, you know, breaking away and being able to attend.
So, yeah, I go over and I train with TJ Laramie. He's a up-and-coming stud. He's actually the TKO champ. He's probably the best guy coming out of Canada. Him and I work with a coach named Dina Leon, who's been kind of a Muay Thai coach for me, an overall striking coach for me for a really long time. Him and I go over there and do one-on-ones. That's something I couldn't do before, but now, you know, obviously with all the time I have, it makes it a lot easier. I'm also going to go to South Carolina and do some work with Brian Harper. Brian Harper is probably one of the best MMA grappling coaches in the world. So I'm going to go down there for a week and just do nothing but basically, you know, work on things that, you know, Brian Caraway is going to do or try to do to me in the grappling area, just so that I'm more prepared, you know, those things I couldn't do before. I'm doing absolutely everything I have to do to prepare and to make sure that, my check doubles, March 3rd.
Hey Cody, this is Alan. I got a question for you here. This is kind of a serious question, I guess. It says here that you fought 1 week after the tragedy, you know, the horrible shootings that took place in Vegas, and I'd just like to know, like, what the vibe was like when you were there, like, what was the crowd like, and what was it like, you know, after something like that in Vegas?
So it was a pretty surreal time to be in Las Vegas. Obviously my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that was involved in that tragedy. But it was really good to see the UFC and kind of everyone in that community kind of pull together and kind of stand up against what happened. I think obviously it's absolutely an awful thing. But it was really good to see so many people from so many different places, kind of coming together to mourn and to take care of the people that were involved in that. And the UFC did a really good job, with the whole Vegas Strong thing. We wore Vegas Strong T-shirts. There was a ton of money being donated. So it was really cool to be a part of that, be a part of a company that, does so much for the community that they're based out of.
All right. Well, real quick, man, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give some shout outs where they're due. All your friends, family, teammates, and so forth that helped you along the way to get you where you're at right now. And also, we need to know your social media plugs so we can follow you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so forth.
So my social media is the same on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's just Cody Stamann, CodyStamann. I got to thank everybody at Michigan Top Team for always making sure I'm well prepared. My family, you guys for taking the time to listen to what I had to say. Look for me to put on a show and absolutely put a serious beating on Brian Caraway. I think he's probably not going to fight for another 2 years after the beating I'm going to put on him.
Cody the Spartan Stamann heads into UFC 222 March 3rd in Las Vegas as he faces off against Brian Caraway. Get your tickets now and, of course, watch it on pay-per-view. Cody, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
We are joined by amateur MMA prospect CJ Baker, coming off a big win at Valor Fights 47 and headed into Border Wars February 17th as he faces Randall Ross. CJ, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, not a problem, man. What's up?
Excited to have you, man. You're a first-timer here on the Valor Hour. So before we get too deep into things, you want to give our listeners a little bit of a background on yourself, how you got into fighting, your training background. I know obviously you've got a wrestling background, as we saw in your debut, which was just a couple weeks ago now at Valor 47. Talk a little bit about your background and what got you into MMA and your training, and then talk a little bit about your debut fight, what it was like debuting on a pretty big show in front of a lot of people like that. A lot of guys debut on smaller events. You came out there on a large event for your first for your first competition.
Yeah, man, like you said, I'm a wrestler by trade, so I've been around a combat sport, my whole life, basically. And we always joked around, about getting me in the cage, and, I got on like a Bruce Lee flow, and I just started doing my thing. One thing led to another, and I was like, man, I got to get in the cage. So I got in contact with Tim, and we set that up, and we tried to get a couple fights before that, man, but we couldn't ever get anything together, and then he hit me up with the AJ card, and I was like, oh, yeah. This is what I want to do, And then AJ, injuries happened. So I still wanted to fight because I knew it was going to be a big card. And I got to come to Knoxville. Knoxville always gets me lit. But mainly,
that was
just
an outstanding
fighter, man. I don't have a – thank you, sir.
It was an outstanding performance
there
at Valor Fights 47, man. You end you finish it off for round one. And but we were we had the standoff there, the face off with AJ Johnson. We were thinking, man, you guys are finally going to make it happen. But that being said, it's not to be just yet, man. It's Randall Ross that you're going to be facing, and this is a guy who's had tons of experience.
Oh, yeah.
As well. He's a big monster, just like you. But your styles match up a little bit more contrasting. You're a lot different. He's known to be a guy who likes to stand and trade. You are the wrestler by trade. How do you think you guys match up?
To be dead honest, man, I don't really see him standing too long with me, man. I'm going to get the fight to the ground as soon as possible and just try to finish it with blows.
So you're going right into another big event. This is
right
this is a Border Wars show.
I'm going to make him trade.
this is going to be another big arena event. You know, the Corbin Arena is beautiful. It's an awesome venue, just super nice, big spot. We're going to have it packed out again. So it's going to be another opportunity for you to shine and really kind of keep building towards that AJ Johnson fight here in the spring. But you don't want to overlook Ross, of course. You know, he's a guy that's been out there with some tough guys, and he's got some titles in other organizations. So, you know, this is also a super heavyweight fight. So I know that you cut a little bit of weight to get to that 265 mark. That'll make any difference at all? Cutting that weight, did you feel like it slowed you down at all, or do you think it doesn't really matter?
No, my process is still the same. I'm on a lean right now. I'm getting ready. You know what I'm saying? I can't overlook anybody, but you know what I'm saying? My focus right now is on Randall Ross right now, but I'm still looking ahead because I want that AJ fight, and you know, he's an athlete. So I'm going to trim the weight. I'm going to get back to, you know what I'm saying, to shape I know that I can be in. Stick to the process.
All right. Well, we're also joined here by Alan Poole. And Alan, you were there taking the photos. Of course, you got the photos of the big finish, but also of the big face off there with AJ Johnson. Any words here for CJ?
Yeah, man. Hey, what's up, CJ?
What's going on, brother?
Hey. So inside that cage, yeah, Casey was there. I was there. You were there. AJ was there. And when y'all finally faced off, or at least it's the first time I saw you guys really square up, and it was right after you fought, right? So you were lit, and AJ takes his shirt off, and you square up, and you made this kind of like weird, like a snarl almost. And well, anyways, my question is, you know, did it get your blood going? Because AJ
man, he takes his shirt off like it's, you know what I'm saying, like muscle, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean anything in the fight game, bro. I'm going to land a punch on that chin, or I'm going to put him on the mat. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, CJ, real quick, man, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give some shout-outs where they're due. Of course, all your training partners, friends, family, everybody that's helped you along the way, as well as we need your social media plugs, okay? All the places we can find you online and follow you, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and so forth.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, man, I want to give a shout-out to East Ridge Wrestling. You know what I'm saying? That's where I got my start. I want to give a shout-out to my manager, Jesse Cameron. I want to give a shout-out to Chattanooga, Tennessee, because there's a little miscommunication in the introduction or whatever. I'm not from Dalton, Georgia. I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I want to get that out. And you know what I'm saying? You can follow me on Instagram at BeansBaker. That's with a Z, _Beans. And I don't have a Twitter, but you can follow me on Facebook. Friend me on Facebook, CJ Baker, you know.
All right. CJ Baker heads into Border Wars February 17th as he faces off with Randall Ross. Be sure to get your tickets for this one. It's going to be explosive, super heavyweight action. CJ, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Let's get it.
Well, that does it for another great lineup of interviews, as well as another episode of the Valor Hour. Remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts as well as Stitcher, and please share this broadcast. We return right here next week as we continue our discussion on the biggest combat sports news from across the globe. A huge thanks to our great lineup of guests this week, as well as a huge shout out to Ogle, Elrod, and Baril for their tremendous support. For myself, Casey Oxenden, and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, this has been the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour. Powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on any of our programming, or if you have some show ideas you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you take time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means more than you could ever know. Without you, the listener, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to all of our programming. You can find all of Radio Influence's programming on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.